Hey guys, can you hear me?
What's up? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I can.
Welcome. All right, sweet. Everybody, welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We're here for a Monday Night Raw retrospective, February 5th, 2007. We're doing. I am, of course, one of your hosts, Dan Hummer. I'm here with my always gorgeous and beautiful to be around brother Doug.
Yo.
Oh, and, we're here with our good buddy Squinna.
Yo.
And Eric's here.
What's up?
Not too much. How's everybody doing?
How are you guys?
We all had a good week?
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Good stuff, good stuff. So we got a big show tonight. This was a fun episode of Raw. I'm excited to talk about it. Before we get into all that, you want to go through the plugs, Dougie?
Yeah, sure. All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet dudes. Obviously, Boxman has some class because he recently fired Eric from that show.
Wow.
Yeah, right off the bat, huh?
So, well, that's what happens when you call in at 3 minutes to him. We only have 2.5 minutes to figure out technical difficulties.
It's all good.
Wow.
So listen to Boxman and Smart and Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found. They can be on around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Blog talk or mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes, and then mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout Saturday nights 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Hollywood Hangout. That is their second show. Boxman and Smark and whoever else Boxman hasn't fired. Listen to us 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight, February 5th, 2007 Raw. Next week, it is a feud retrospective between Ken Shamrock and The Rock. 2 weeks from tonight, we are going back to 1997, when Daniel was, well, before Daniel was even born, and when Eric Clinton and I were all just horny preteens. So February 17th, 1997, that episode of Raw. 3 weeks from tonight, February the 25th, will be the top 20 greatest tag teams of all time countdown. Of course, we're in the process right now. We're getting the ballot together. Once I have the ballot together, I will put it up on the social media and Facebook, facebook.com/group that's old school wrestling. Also other groups as well. That's going to be a very special episode, of course. We'll be on there. We'll be joined. Is Boxman going to join us for that show?
He said yes.
Okay. Boxman will be on. Kenny Lehman will be back. And then, of course, afterwards, we are all going to go audition for Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the musical. Of course.
Not on that one, right?
Yeah. I think there's a character that might resemble you. Then, of course, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on Scripted Unlimited, join myself and Daniel and Kenny Lehman. We're poking him twice in a month, so it's probably going to cost us some money. As we do a Batman retrospective. Ooh. Then, of course, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
3 p.m. Eastern Sunday, Scaredy Cats. We're doing I Know What You Did Last Summer, finally. We're giving the people what they want. We've been waiting to do this show. We're going to be talking about it, me and Mindy. Also, like you said, Saturday, you, me, and Kenny Lehman, very pumped about that one. Batman, we're talking about everything we, loving about the character we grew up knowing, and it's one of the most popular characters in, all of fiction. So it's going to be fun to talk about, and, Sunday for Scaredy Cats as well.
And then, of course, next week sometime, join Eric and Clinton as they are going to preview the Super Bowl. for the NFL Hard Hit Show. That's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting Super Bowl. And I'm sure also talk about a lot of the head coaching news that's going around. And some schmuck retired this past week from the NFL. And he was supposed to get, you know, praise all day on Tuesday, but he got upended by the fact that there is a lawsuit going on. So did you say good or really?
No, I said good.
Yes. Which,
the
you know.
The greatest quarterback of all time.
Matt Ryan?
No, not Matt Ryan.
Yo, Matt Ryan. What the hell? What is Matt Ryan for? You mean Dawson? No, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
I'm just joking.
So, all right. That pretty much does it for the plugs. Let's talk about this Raw thing here.
All right. It takes place at the Tyson Event Center in Iowa, February 5th. We're here. It's kind of taking place after New Year's Revolution and everything we've been going on.
Right.
It's a little, it's after the Rumble. Right?
It's a week after the Rumble. So if you go back, and you and I know we actually had this episode on tape, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is back when I used to tape all the episodes of Raw. And like, so in 2007 was very interesting because 2007, the Raws were still really good.
And this is kind of, this is a big one because it also, this is what sets the stage for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It kind of puts us on the road after Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you not only have whoever is going to face Cena.
But you kind of spoil Batista and Taker.
Yeah, because Undertaker makes his decision.
Yeah.
And then you also have kind of the buildup with Donald Trump and Vince McMahon.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things at work here. And even with Bobby Lashley beating Kenny Dykstra later on, which we'll get into, but Bobby Lashley's involvement in everything, and that, you know, that's planting little seeds.
Yeah, and it also helps, too, that, like, they're, you know, they're promoting all three, which WrestleMania season, Raw usually helped promote all three brands at the time.
Yeah.
And this is back when, like, Raw was just 2 hours, so you had a lot you had to pack in.
Which was cool because it kind of made this an action-packed episode.
Yeah. Like, now, like, you have too much television time to where, like, you actually have to fill five segments with one match.
Yeah. It was way easier to digest back then.
Yeah.
You know, of course, like, you know, SmackDown's still 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, see, and AEW is obviously 2 hours. So it's nice having those products, but it's just 3 hours of television is hard to take on the brain.
I know one thing. When I saw that was a two-hour Raw we was doing, I was so happy.
That a pay-per-view?
No. It went so fast.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we were whole you know, we were home. Obviously, we were a little under the weather this week. So, like, we actually got to watch it earlier in the week. And he asked me, he goes, you know, how long is this thing? I said, it's only like an hour. Because it clocked in at an hour 30 exactly.
Yeah.
So it was so easy to watch, to be honest with you. Like, and, like, yeah, we're heading into a year that, like, you know, by the middle of the year, like, a lot of this team would be taken out of the wrestling business, but things were still hot here. Because, you know, John Cena still had a lot of steam behind him. Batista still had a lot of steam behind him. Undertaker obviously still had steam behind him. Shawn Michaels, the Mr. McMahon character, wasn't unbearable yet. Like, Vince McMahon was still
in
a character and was still actually writing good television. So, like, it was so fun to watch this episode.
Yeah. No, it really was a good time, and it flowed really – I mean – to me, New Year's Revolution kind of flowed too, and it had a good card. But this, it was even seeing the mid carders, and there is filler on this, but even it's so quick, and it's so like these are 2, 3, and 4 minute matches. So it goes by so fast, and with all the segments in between, it's fun to watch. The first match, we got Chris Masters and the World's Greatest Tag Team against Carlito and Crime Time. Obviously, Masters and the Greatest Tag Team gets the better of the other gentlemen. Torrie Wilson in the corner. What did we think of this one, Doug?
I thought it was a decent match. I mean, I do feel like the wrong team won. But like, because I still couldn't figure out why they were pushing Shelton and Charlie at this time, because I felt like World's Greatest Tag Team was just like,
yeah, that was kind of dead in 2004.
Yeah. And Chris Masters, the only thing you should push him off of is a cliff.
He had a good look. Not around this time, but.
Well, yeah, because they were starting to make him get off the steroids.
Yeah. And then just Triple H started making jokes about it.
Yeah, so like.
He's not going to be here until 7:05.
Oh, okay. But like, I mean, this match, I mean, you had five really good athletes and a muscle bomb moron. Because Shad and JTG could go in the ring. They weren't just a gimmick.
Yeah. It kind of sucks because they were kind of strapped with a bad gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun and it was cool. I mean, I don't really, you know, enjoy, you know, some of the stupider parts of it, especially, like, the racial undertones and stuff, because these are really two good guys. And I talked about it on the last one, too. These are two guys that can go.
Right.
Like, these are two guys that are really good. And, like, they could. They don't need – their gimmick doesn't need to be stealing shit. They can do whatever they want. Just let them beat the shit out of people. And when they were rolling with Cena, that was so, like, cool, and it was so short-lived. It really, like – it felt right having those two guys beside Cena. So I just felt like they never really got their due. And even when they broke up and kind of went into single runs, they never did anything. And it's really, they're really an underrated tag team that were good in the ring.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Benjamin and Haas will be on the ballot for the tag team countdown.
Yeah.
Primetime didn't nobody has said Primetime yet, so.
I mean, I understand.
Well, I'm putting Primetime on there. I'll put it that way, and I'll put that.
All right, Primetime's on the ballot. Clint has spoken.
There you go.
And I'm actually being serious, because, like, if anybody says, hey, put this team on there, I'm putting it on there.
Is Chris Masters and Carlito on the ballot?
No.
No.
I'm not speaking up for that, don't worry. I'm not wasting my pick on those two idiots.
Clemens almost had a stroke.
But World's Greatest Tag Team, for sure. I mean, it's one of those – I feel like they went back to the well way too many times, and this is one of those times. But that initial run when they first came in, even though Charlie was still a little green, it cemented them. And to me, they are a legendary tag team for that run alone. Even though the SmackDown division was kind of weak. But they were such a strong tag team back then. I didn't need all the restarts. And I mean, the Ring of Honor run was kind of cool. But this here, it wasn't really needed. And, yeah, this match, it's kind of hard to rate any of these because they're kind of short matches. But I would give it, like, a 5-star. It was an okay opener, but that's it.
All right. To be honest with you, I would give it a 3.
No. I won't give it a 4 just because the wrong team won.
I'll give it a 4. Match was over before I even knew it.
Yeah. You want to get into any segments in between this?
We do kind of have to talk about the opening segment. Which was Undertaker picking Batista as his opponent, and then Shawn Michaels coming out saying, look, you know, Cena's Cena's free, so therefore I'm laying down the challenge. And then Randy Orton comes out and says, no, that ain't happening. And Edge comes out and says, if you're just going to hand somebody the title shot, it should just be me. because Edge was an entitled little bitch back then.
Right.
But, like, that whole thing was cool, and it set up that, you know, it set up that match. And then McMahon came out and basically, you know, because he's trying to recover from Donald Trump dropping money last week. And he said, he's like, look, he goes, this triple threat match that I'm making, because he makes a triple threat match, he goes, that's giving you value. Which it was. And, you know, and also saying Bobby Lashley was going to wrestle. And then Undertaker chokeslamming Batista. I mean, it was a cool opening segment. I mean, and plus, like, you know, JR and King always creamed over the fact that whenever they could get Undertaker on Raw. Because Undertaker was mainly SmackDown at that point.
Yeah.
I don't think during the entire brand extension, I don't think Undertaker was ever on Raw except for in the very beginning.
Was he?
He was really never on Raw. Once, I think, let's put it this way. When the draft happened and Taker was drafted to SmackDown, Taker was mainly SmackDown. And he bled SmackDown through on. It was no, we're going to put Taker on Raw. But no, Taker's going to Raw unless we have something, a special thing to go.
Yeah, and because I feel like Raw was always the A show, but SmackDown needed legitimacy. And Undertaker always gave it that legitimacy.
Yeah.
Like, he was that, you knew SmackDown was legitimate, and you knew it was, like, going to be a good show because Taker's on the bill. So, and he's building up to a pay-per-view. So you wanted to watch SmackDown because of him. And when I think of SmackDown, I think of three men. I think of Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, and Batista. And Batista had a hell of a run on Raw, but I equate him with SmackDown as well.
I mean, to be honest with you, Rey should have never been moved to Raw. He should have just been kept on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I'll put another name up there. I'll say Edge is SmackDown too.
Yeah, but his rated R run, superstar, that initial, I can't do that to him just because he did so much on both. Batista had that run at Raw, too, and that first thing with Triple H, but after that, he was really a smash. I can't do that to Edge. I'd see he just all around. He's Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't agree, Clinton?
That's fair.
No, I'm sorry. I'm calling my nephew.
Oh, okay. Okay. But I'd say Edge is for sure both. But, like, Ray and Undertaker, especially, those are SmackDown.
Yeah.
But it was nice them building up to this. Was there a segment before the Umaga match? Just keep filling in.
I think... I'm not sure if they did the interview with Flair yet or not, but like Flair came out and he was doing or Flair, you know, backstage Maria was doing the interview, you know, sucking up to Flair because I'm pretty sure, you know, she wanted him to fuck her, and like, you know, Flair's talking about WrestleMania because he's getting all hyped up because this is when Flair really started, you know. Playing, you know, doing the thing of he hated the younger talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the interview with Jeff Hardy. Or did the interview because he was going to have the match with Jeff Hardy.
Right. And that match shouldn't go very far either, but we'll get to that. All right, Umaga and Balls Mahoney. This goes a minute 54. Balls get smashed. I give this it was a good squash, so I give it another 5-star.
The thing about this match
was...
Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, it was just a match to put over Umaga even more.
It was the further the storyline that Mr. McMoran... had a problem with the ECW originals. And so they brought Balls Mahoney in so Umaga can make an example out of him. I mean, the match was it was a good Umaga squash. I would give it another 3.
I've been in 4.
See with that, I'm definitely going to give it a 5.
You're going to give Umaga and Balls a 5?
Yeah, I want to give it a 5 because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I
think it's going to set up to me what led on to after WrestleMania with the whole Vincent Man, Tara, Vincent Cher, Shane and Umaga, Tara with ECW.
What did you think of the stuff with him and Coach backstage, Doug?
Oh, when they were doing when they read the letter from Trump saying when Trump said he was going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, first of all, I think Jonathan Coachman is an idiot.
Yeah.
All right. Like, the whole thing with him and then, you know, him being an announcer, which he was never a good announcer.
No.
Okay.
That kind of got exposed when he came back.
Yeah. Well, I here's the funny thing. You bring him back to replace Booker T. When he was here the first time, he was not that good. That just shows you how shitty they thought Booker was. Okay? Because it's like, okay, you fucking suck, so we got to bring somebody back that sucks too, but he sucks a little less than you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why they brought him back. But he was never that good. But, like, in the role of heel authority figure, he was okay because he was easy to hate.
Yeah.
So the whole thing when he said, oh, I'm going to have Donald Trump barred from the building, McMahon's like, no, you're not. I'm going to have Donald Trump come to the ring and kiss my ass. So you knew something was going to lead up. See, the funny thing about, like, the Battle of the Billionaires back then is that, like, you know, they were both, technically at the time, they were both hated back then, too.
Yeah.
But, like, you knew one of them was going to get humiliated, so, like, you're okay rooting for one over the other.
Yeah.
See, now if they did that, like, you would actually have people in the back poisoning their food before they even get back out to the ring.
Yeah, now they're probably a lot more hated.
Yeah.
All of them. All right, so I want to put it this way. When the first Battle, I think the Battle of the Billionaires put Donald Trump on the map of America is what made America awful to that. Let's put it that way. I truly, in my heart, believe that.
Trump was actually likable back then.
And then that's what I was going to ask. At the time, did you enjoy this? And were you rooting for
I enjoyed it. I was rooting for Donald Trump back in the day. Everybody was back in the day.
I loved the show.
No, I hated the show, but I just liked the fact that Donald Trump was like America, everybody wanted because, well, but if you look at it now, I was like, oh, what was I even thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, when I even saw it, I'm like, oh, I did this? I nearly wonder, oh.
Who was rooting for this asshole?
Oh, man, I actually liked him back then.
Well, this just proves that Vince can make anybody likable.
Yeah. Unless he has to get them over. Well, I mean, he can make anybody likable. He can't do it now. Unless it's somebody that he likes.
I just mean compared to him.
Yeah.
Super Crazy and Nitro.
This was interesting because, and they really didn't go that much further with it. Like,
I still can't believe Super Crazy won the fucking match.
Well, and that's the thing. They started pushing him. His push was based on the movie Nacho Libre.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? That's what they were basing this push off of. Because somebody pitched it because they know Vince doesn't go to a movie theater. And then, so they're like, all right, you know, we'll do this. Good shit, pal. And it was getting over, but then when you have guys that don't like it, that know exactly what the other writers are doing,
yeah,
you know, like a Kevin Dunn or a Michael Hayes, because Hayes was very good back in the day of killing pushes.
Yeah.
You know, or even Bruce Pritchard back then. Three guys who spent a lot of time with their mouths on Vince's testicles.
Where's your camera?
Like, so, like, when one of them finally had enough of Super Crazy, they're just like, Vince, his push is the ripoff of a movie. That's what made Vince kill the push.
Yeah.
And it was that way for a couple of guys, too. Paul Burchill, when he was a pirate, because it was a ripoff of Pirates of the Caribbean. Right? It was getting over. Somebody had enough. They told Vince, watch Pirates of the Caribbean. He did. He realized that he was ripping off the movie, so he killed the push.
Damn.
But, like, him winning the match, I mean, they should have done more, I think, with him and Mickie James.
Yeah, that was a fun
pairing. It was a fun pairing. And then, like, even after, like, a few weeks after this, Nitro was done with Melina. Because they have Melina go on her own. Knock it off. But, like, I mean, first of all, the match only went 3 minutes. And then, like, it was a decent enough match. I mean, both guys could work.
Yeah. It's still weird Johnny did the job, though.
Yeah.
And then Mickey came right in and beat Melina for the title.
Right. Now, I'm giving the Super Crazy Nitro match, I'm giving it a 5.
I'd go 6 for this one. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I'll give it a 5. It was a solid match.
I'm going to give it a 7.
You're what?
I'm going to give it a 7.
7?
Hell yeah.
Clint, if it might help if you speak into the phone.
No, I want to give it a 7. Yes, 7.
There we go. Mickie James and Melina. This was all right. I mean, Melina wasn't really ever that good.
Melina would eventually get polished.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the backstage stuff that Nitro made her do, but she would eventually become a decent enough worker.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, Mickey was still
kind of green.
Yeah.
Mickey always had an innate kind of talent, though.
Yeah.
Tour. But this was all right. I give this one 4 stars.
I would give it about 4.5.
I'd give it a 4.
I want to give it a 5.
All right. Jeffy and Ricky, old school versus new school.
See, and this is the funny part. Flair doing, because Flair was there really to put over the younger talent. Now, you can obviously tell he wasn't happy because a lot of it, you know, obviously a lot of his frustration would come out later on when he yelled at Carlito.
Yeah.
I mean, because he actually even did say, he's like, you know, most of it was a shoot.
Because
he actually does feel that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
that kind of killed Carlito at the time.
Yeah,
too.
And Torrey Wilson should have just come up from behind Rick and just hit him right in the balls.
Yeah.
The thing with Flair is he was doing his job back. His job, obviously, like I said, put over younger talent. If you are getting older, Yes, you are the greatest wrestler of all time. Cough, cough. I don't think so. But, you know, people in the company did. But, like, just, I think his attitude sometimes is just like, oh, I'm the greatest wrestler of all time. Why the fuck do I got to do this? Because you want to stay employed, you stupid motherfucker. Just shut up with your saggy tits and just do the fucking job.
I didn't really like the promo on Carlito because Carlito was like a babyface. It would have made sense if he was like a heel or something, a young cocky heel, but it really made no sense to kind of kill Carlito like that because he really roasted him. He called him lazy and all this shit. The match, it didn't do much for me either. The styles don't mesh whatsoever. Ric Flair could still go at this time, but he needed a different type of opponent than Jeff Hardy. He could go with like a Randy or Triple H, of course, and people like that. But Jeff's just a little too unorthodox for him, so it didn't work for me. I give this a 2-star.
I would give it 3 because I don't think it was that. I thought it was bad, but I didn't think it was that bad. It's just like, again, like if this were Flair, like 5, 10 years earlier, then, you know, this would have been, this match would have been great. But, you know, Flair was getting up there in age. I mean, he was 58 years old, for Christ's sake.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, his job is to put over the younger talent. Something his daughter doesn't, well, his daughter won't even put over any kind of talent. And then when she's told to put them over, she makes their lives a living hell until they quit.
Really? Yeah, I thought I was the only one that saw that. I'm like, that.
Oh, no, I cannot. If Charlotte Flair would have won the Royal Rumble the other night, like, we would have had a broken television set.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I even said when I was watching along with boxing the guys, I said I was going to break my TV if I thought I won.
Is that why you got fired?
Probably. Yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm not going to insult Boxman or Smart. Well, actually, I could insult Smart, but Boxman might get upset. Because Smart does actually have a fetish for women that look like their dads. Box, we still like you.
Are we still on Hardy and Flair, or did everyone give their ratings?
Eric and Clint, give a rating beat up any more of our sponsors.
I'll give it a 2.
I mean, it just didn't
do anything for me.
Right,
both guys are legends, absolutely, but I just
make sure that
it's two different styles.
And I just want to remind the listeners to make sure to check out Elite Diplodoc on YouTube and Sneaky Fetty on Twitch. I don't know why you stopped doing this. Is that for Sean? Bobby Lashley and Kenny Dykstra. This was interesting. It was kind of long compared to the rest of the matches on the card. Clintus, tell us, why did Kenny Dykstra never really work coming off of the Spear Squad?
Well, I think, to tell you the truth, the Spear Squad was just, I'm sorry, it was just like one of those quick, it reminded me like, four like gay guys. I'm sorry. If I offend somebody, I'm really sorry, but that's exactly what they reminded me of.
Yeah,
four gay guys.
It's really okay to be that way. It's fine to do that. It's okay.
Okay.
Don't get a
canceled. That's exactly what the spirit guy was.
Do not get us kicked off the air. That is my shtick. If anybody's getting us kicked off the air, goddammit, it's me.
Well,
but, yeah, you weren't into it. You didn't
I wasn't in good. And when they're going their own way, it made it even worse because Kenny was just not really a good wrestler in my eye. And proved him right here. I mean, him and Bobby Lashley, our young Bobby Lashley.
Okay, so now, am I the only one that thinks, though, that Dykstra wasn't even the best worker in the Spirit Squad?
Well, I mean, no. Obviously, you're not the only one. I mean, Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I think the best was Dolph Ziggler.
Honestly, I still think Dolph Ziggler's overrated.
So who's the best worker?
Johnny. Johnny Teeter.
You weren't a Mikey guy?
Mikey looked like that guy that basically snorted cocaine in the morning, at noon, before dinner, and then again at night.
I always felt like he was like the one that took the bumps, too. Like Mikey always got beat up.
Yeah, he always took the bumps. Johnny, I think, was the more athletic. Mitch just...
Mikey's the one that got stuck in Triple H's ass, right? Or was it Ziggler?
It was one of the two.
I think it was Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch was the one whose name technically, he was another one named Nick. Like, that was his name. His first name was Nick.
It couldn't be Nick.
Right. So they're like, all right, you're going to be Mitch.
Yeah, but this was all right. Bobby looked pretty good. I feel bad because I actually enjoyed this card, but I'm going to give it another 5 stars.
And to be honest with you, I actually thought it was a decent match. I'm giving it a 6 because, I mean, Lashley, well, first of all, I'll say this too. You know, we could talk about, Dykstra didn't work after the Spirit Squad. The real reason why Kenny Dykstra did not, really work after the Spirit Squad is because John Cena wanted to fuck Kenny Dykstra's girl.
Yeah, I know. You said that.
Okay? I mean, it's not Dykstra's fault. Dykstra just had a hot fiance.
But was Dykstra really all that in a bag of chips anyway? Come on.
He was a decent enough man.
Was he a decent, like...
Well, really? You mean to tell me him with Cena and Molina was a thing? Is this why the whole...
No, Cena and Mickey.
Huh?
Cena and Mickey.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, he got with Mickey.
Ooh.
Melina was Nitro's girl, but Dykstra was with Mickey. Cena had his eye on her. They got together, and she had an affair on Kenny, right? I don't want to speak negatively on her.
She called off the engagement.
Okay.
She called off the engagement, and then Dykstra didn't like it, so Cena used his pull, allegedly, to get... to get Dykstra out of the company. And then Cena fell in love with another woman.
But if Cena had not done that, I don't think that Kenny Dykstra would be main eventing WrestleMania. I don't even think he'd be wrestling for the Intercontinental title. I mean, the heavyweight championship, this is the biggest match of his career, pretty much. I mean, he did the shit with DX and the Spirit Squad, but still. This kid, like... And I'm sorry, but, like, was Kenny ever really going to be anything? He was another arrogant, cocky heel. We had enough of those. We have Randy Orton. We have Johnny Nitro. We don't fucking need Kenny Dykstra. Come on. Let's be honest with ourselves. Was he really going to do anything? No.
No. He didn't have the haircut.
Like every other guy that claims they were screwed over by John Cena. Were they really going to be anything?
I mean, well, first of all.
Was Alex Riley really going to be anything? And I love Alex Riley.
No,
was he really going to be a main eventer?
No, but, like, also, too, that's the excuse a lot of the guys were going to... I mean, Kenny Dykstra was legitimately screwed over, or not even really legitimately. Mickie James fell in love with somebody else, which is allowed to happen, by the way. I'm not saying that a girl, even though she's engaged to a guy, should get married to that guy she's engaged to. If she finds somebody else different, it's your personal choice. And, it's the personal choice, and that's it. But, like, I think the way, they kind of went about it, I feel bad. And I'm not a Kenny Dykstra fan. I like John Cena. I like Mickie James. I just don't like the whole sneaking around deal.
You're on the road and something looks good. I mean, you can't fucking move.
When your boy or your fiance sitting right there.
I mean, well, at least Edge had the common courtesy to wait till Matt was injured.
All right, let's put it this way. Yes. We're going to put it this way. If you're going to bring that up, yes, the whole Edge and Matt storyline, no. No, we can't compare to that. Nothing can compare to that whole Edge and Matt storyline. That thing blew up from hot to ZTV to actual TV, and they were best friends, which made it even worse.
I'm sure I don't think John Cena and Kenny Dykstra were out grabbing beers together. So I don't think we can compare the two. But I'm just saying, it's just funny how wrestling is. But did we all rate this? Did Eric and,
I don't know if Eric and Clintus rated it or not.
No.
I gave it a 3.
Okay.
And I'm definitely going to give it a 6.
Okay.
It was a good TV title match, even though the title was ECW title on Raw made it even interesting.
All right, Doug, meat and potatoes. Shawn Michaels, Edge, and Randy Orton. Because we already talked about Carlito getting yelled at.
Yeah.
This was a really good main event. And obviously the end setup was awesome. Setting up the two WrestleMania main events. You can't
make, and the main event for No Way Out.
And the main event for No Way Out. But Shawn Michaels and John Cena. I mean, those two WrestleMania matches did deliver.
Yeah.
And I think this build-up, delivered as well. So this is a pretty good build-up to, or the start of a build-up to two really good WrestleMania matches. Because those were two really great WrestleMania. Undertaker and Batista are still one of my favorites of all time.
Which we are going to do that WrestleMania next month.
Thank God, because they burned down the building. For two big men, are you kidding me?
Yeah. But no, that WrestleMania is in the plans.
Good.
But this match was
three guys, three solid-ass dudes that can all work tremendously, all great great talkers, great wrestlers. The total package of being a professional wrestler, these three guys have it. So all of these guys going at once is always a treat.
Yeah, and this is before Randy Orton, because 2007 was not a good year for Randy Orton.
No.
But, he would eventually, finally get his head out of his ass.
Yeah, but to me, he was doing bad shit behind the scenes, and he'll admit to it. But to me, the work rate was never off.
Had good work rate.
Like, I love cocky, this Randy. Even, pre-voices Randy Orton, the scumbag Randy here was still awesome. I thought he was, still kind of, at a peak. So, he was doing, some really screwed up stuff, but he was, he was still delivering when, he went out to that ring. And all three of these guys delivered. Go ahead, Clint.
But you have to remember this. The only reason this even came about is because Triple H got hurt. This was really supposed to be a setup of a rematch of last year's WrestleMania between Cena and Triple H.
That's very true.
Triple H gets hurt, and what they do, they call his best man, his best friend, to take his spot, which is Shawn Michaels.
Right, which, by the way, Shawn Michaels is head over heels a better worker than Triple H.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no disputing that. And I know Eric just creamed when I said that because, Eric, of course, happens to be a big HBA fan.
And that's a pretty high bar. That's not saying anything negative about Triple H.
No, because Shawn Michaels is a good Triple H is a fine worker.
Shawn Michaels is head over heels above a lot of people.
And because Shawn also, too, could make anybody look good.
Yeah, he was one of those guys. Triple H wasn't always necessarily one of those guys. Shawn was.
Yeah, I mean, it would also help your case if you were friends with Hunter.
Yeah.
But Shawn could work with guys he even didn't like.
But Shawn had the style. It's also styles to me. Triple H didn't have that style to where he, as a heel, he could take bumps and stuff, but Shawn had that Ric Flair style of making everybody look good.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's a specific, Cena doesn't make everybody look good, but I still think he's got a good style of wrestling. Shawn makes everybody look good while having a great style of wrestling. I think you can put Edge in that category, too. I don't know
yeah.
so much Randy. I'd say he's a different style. But so Shawn makes everybody look good.
Yeah.
And he was a perfect choice for Cena. The match the year before with Triple H and Cena at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
That was good. Was it Shawn Michaels and John Cena? No.
And, like, you can even make the argument that Shawn could have had one more run around this time.
Yeah. I don't think he wanted it, though, right? Because he didn't even want to be champion when they gave it to him. He never really wanted the title itself.
No, when he came back in 2002 and they made him champion, like, he only kept it for a month because he's just like,
yeah.
I appreciate the feel-good story. Because, you know, Shawn was also, too, he was, you know, gung-ho, born-again Christian. He wasn't going to be the same piece of shit that he was before.
Yeah, and part of that was being a ball hog with the championship.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of wanted to steer away from that.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what, I'm a different guy than I was. Now, Hunter was happy to be a fucking hog with,
yeah.
with the title. But, like, he's just, because certain guys, they don't like the pressure of being, Eddie Guerrero hated being champion.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't like it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, when they gave it to him, he wanted to drop the title to Kurt at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And he came up with the idea for JBL, too. He kept wanting to lose the title.
Yeah. But, like, so certain guys, like...
But this was more so Shawn was at a point to where I don't think he even... He didn't need it, but he knew that, too.
Yeah.
So he was fine with putting people...
Well, over. And, like, you know, we talk about guys all the time. You know, when we did the list, you know, the one countdown we did when we countdown the top 10 guys is never... greatest superstars that never hold the title or whatever.
Yeah.
If you go down that list, none of them really needed it. Now, they could have won it because they were all over at a point to where you could have given it to them. But the characters themselves really did not need that title.
Right.
Yep.
And Shawn was at a point, too, to where we already knew how good Shawn was as an athlete beforehand. But see, now... You know, post back injury, Shawn Michaels. You know, the 2002 to 2010 version. We were finding out how good of a human being he was.
Yeah,
something we did not know. You know, from 1988 to 2002.
Yeah.
So like here, and he was still putting on like stellar performance.
Yeah, he was great all the way to the end. He was great. He obviously shouldn't have came back for that tag match that they did in Saudi Arabia. But besides that, you can't really ever say that Shawn slowed down.
Well, again, it was a lot of money that was being offered.
Yeah, and I don't blame him whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I don't blame him either. I mean, the four of them even said, like, you can actually hear them in the ring going, we're too old for this shit.
Yeah. But Shawn, he's not a Rick. You can't say Shawn's a Rick. He did not overstay his welcome whatsoever.
No, he could have gone another year or two if he wanted.
Yeah.
Because he was getting to
I
the
think
point.
He was. If you bring the whole Shawn thing, yes, I think he was forced into doing that Saudi Arabia thing. Like, I think that whole promo with the ticker set, making him come out, it was like, I think Triple H begged him to do it. I think deep down, I think Michaels did not want to do that match. And if you watch the match, you could tell during the match he didn't want to be in it whatsoever.
Well, and here's the thing, to kind of go off what you're saying, Clint. Remember when they wanted to move, because people were saying, you know, you need to get the fuck out of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Because of the whole journalist thing.
Yeah.
The issue was is that because Saudi Arabia was paying them, you know, what they were paying them, and then all of a sudden WWE kind of, you know,
not that off,
toyed with the idea of, you know, moving it out of Saudi Arabia. Shawn and Brock Lesnar both said, because they were coming out, because they were doing this event for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Shawn basically said, he's like, well, are we going to still get, if we do this in fucking, you know, Davenport, Iowa, are we still going to get paid what, you know, we're supposed to get paid in Saudi Arabia? And when it said no, Shawn's just like, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm not getting paid, because I don't want to do this. Yeah. I am doing this before the money.
And as a favor. Favor
yeah.
and money.
Well,
and a favor doesn't go a long way with that.
Money goes a long way than favor, longer way than favor.
Yeah. But this is clearly money and a favor to Triple H.
Yeah.
But this main event, let's give this its due, was a great, solid match.
Yeah, and it showcased three guys who obviously we know what Edge would go on and become.
And he was already becoming it.
Yeah, all right.
Him and Randy
was already there.
Yeah.
Randy Orton is, and Edge and Orton, by the way, are still doing this to a high level.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Edge is 40, fuck, 40, Edge is going to be 49.
45. 49. Oh, wow.
And, you know, Orton's going to be 42 himself. All right. They're still doing this at a high level.
Yeah.
So, but this match, again, this was, you know, Shawn Michaels, the veteran, going against two younger stars. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I would give this match an 8.
Yeah, absolutely. I give this a 9.
I give it a 9. I thought it was a solid main event. It told a story, and the right guy, I think the right guy won.
Me too. Clint?
Yeah, I want to give it a 8. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
You're good.
I want to go, yeah, I'm going to give it a 10. I mean, it was the best match of the show, I think. Shawn Michaels won for the right reason. It ended with a perfect ending with both Cena and Taker coming out, setting up the whole No Way Out tag. WrestleMania, main event versus WrestleMania main event.
I got goosebumps. Watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, boys, we want final thoughts on the show? The whole show,
I'll
definitely
go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Sorry. I thought the Raw was solid. I enjoyed it. Each match was solid, and there was no horrible match on the card. So, but I give it a 8 out of 10.
All right,
Clintus. All right, I'm gonna final thoughts. I thought it was a good show. Great. Like a week after Royal Rumble, it led to great build to lead to No Way Out and continuing the whole WrestleMania setup. So I want to give it a good 9 out of 10.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm actually gonna go the same way. I'm gonna go 9 out of 10, and. It's crazy because I did give a lot of the matches 5 stars, but it's not really the matches that really drove this except for the main event. It was a really good setup for everything that was to come. And that's kind of what these shows are supposed to be. So I think it achieved its goal tenfold. And to me, this is a 9 out of a 10 show. All right, Dougie, take us home.
Exactly.
All right, so you have what a wrestling show is supposed to do. A wrestling show is supposed to build up major angle, major pay-per-views, and it's not supposed to make you want to shoot yourself after watching it, unlike today's product. But back here, like, this was a perfect setup for two of the main WrestleMania matches that year. I'm giving the show itself a 9 out of 10.
Absolutely. And with that being said, we will see everybody next week for The Rock versus Ken Shamrock feud retrospective. It's going to be a great one. And everyone have
this
a great week.
You too, guys.
All right, guys.
All right. See you later.
Later, guys.
Later.
The colors of personality.